In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
It's 4 o'clock on the number one sports talk show for your drive home.
I mean, you know how it is, rocking and rolling and whatnot.
This is Dukes and Bell,
brought to you by Finley Roofing.
We've got you covered.
Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You want to win a pair of tickets to see Santana and Counting Crows? It's the Oneness Tour, Tuesday, June 18th. That's June 18th, the Gas South Arena, guys. We've got your tickets, so stay tuned for that. Mike, did you see this where Messi came out and said Inter Miami is going to be his last club?
Yeah, I think most people kind of expected that, unless he was going to go do the ultimate cash it in over there in Saudi Arabia, like his pal Ronaldo.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think he's certainly, you know, I mean, yes, you'd like to see him play every match, but at his age, he's not going to be playing in every match. Just sucks when you spend good money to see him play in that aforementioned match. But Inter Miami's been entertaining as hell. And it's been certainly he's been the guy that helps them get that new stadium built, which everyone was hoping that they get to see him play in it. We'll find out.
He's going to win MLS championship.
I think he will. I think where this guy has gone, you know, the success has followed. As we like to say, where Messi goes, the champagne flows. I think so.
All right, we brought up the Aaron Rodgers story. We're going to talk dogs here in a bit, but I said it's a shame he's not at mandatory minicamp. And then you've got your head coach lying for you. Now Robert Saleh comes out, Mike, because you said it. New York media is on this. He says we're on the exact same page talking about Aaron Rodgers' absence. If you're just joining us, Rodgers, yesterday, Saleh came out and said, oh, it's unexcused, but he had something he really wanted to be at. Then rumor came out that he's basically out of the country and made these plans way before minicamp and was unwilling, Mike, to change them. And so if that is the case, you had Robert Saleh up there downplaying the matter. Saleh today said Aaron and I are on the same page. There's no issue between Aaron or his teammates for this matter. We've addressed it yesterday. It's more of an issue for everyone outside the building than it is for us on the inside of the building.
Okay, so did Diana Rossini get it wrong that he's just out because he wants to get away from football?
No, I think there were multiple things being said as to cover up why he was not there.
Gotcha.
So
either way, I mean, the coach does not you don't put the coach in a good light either with the media is one thing, but the guys in that locker room will go like, hey, is this guy really the guy who's got the power? Is Aaron Rodgers kind of rolling this deal? Aaron, we talked about it the other earlier in the show that he had mentioned, you know, part of the problem, you know, with any football team is you got to cut out the distractions. Anything that's not about football has got to go. And look, I get it. He's one of the all-timers, his first ballot Hall of Famer, but you know, when you're coming off an injury. And, you know, this team is basically do or die, and everyone's going to get fired if you don't actually win something big. You'd think you'd be there for the mandatory minicamp, wouldn't you?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, if you want to miss the voluntary stuff, yeah, that would be perfectly cool with most people, especially most veterans.
I don't think anybody ever complains about guys of that elk missing an OTA that's voluntary.
Right.
But I just feel like the way this has been handled was poor. And now you have a head coach, and this is the problem, Mike. This is why you got to be upfront and honest. He shouldn't have covered this up. I feel like that's the issue for me. And by the way, the head coach should never say, well, it's an issue for everybody else. It's not an issue for us here inside the building. Well, obviously you're talking about it. So I don't buy that either. Either way, guys, this is the start of what the Jets season may be. Ugh. We'll see how it goes. Maybe it's not a big deal, but I just think it is coming off that injury and trying to get everybody to get on the same page and be behind Aaron Rodgers. And now you've basically chose whatever trip it was that was so important to you over just being there for a few days. I mean, Mike, again, for us, all right, I don't want to lose a grand. I get it. For Aaron, it's not about the money. So
yeah, it is strange how he does in some cases talk about leadership and talks. You know, just basically talking about sides of his head. And I get it. As soon as you criticize Aaron Rodgers, he's become like this hero to the alt-right, and it's weird. Not look, whatever. You know, you want to follow him. If that's your touchstone for all social issues, knock yourself out. But he's not doing the leadership thing in this instance. Period.
All right, guys, we got plenty more to get to. Your chance to win some tickets on the way. Also, we're going to talk to our winner. His name's Randy Stevens, coming up in about 10 minutes. He is a part of our game's Father's Day contest, which we're going to have a dinner at Buckhead Butcher Shop tomorrow. On Thursday, and we'll do the show from there. Looking forward to meeting the new folks and the people that are going to be there, so we're going to have a good time. But Randy is going to join us and talk about how he entered and why and who he's bringing to this thing. So we'll find out from him coming up. Also, a little bit later on this hour, some guy talk. Stay tuned. Let's talk some dogs.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
So, Mike, I mean, commit after commit, right? They get another four-star wideout out of Illinois, committed to UGA last night. His name is Taylen Taylor.
Yep.
And he made an official visit to Athens over the weekend. We talked about this. There were a bunch of schools, right, that had kids in. We talked to Connor Riley, and he said, look, you're getting kids to commit. This isn't even a game, official game weekend. It just speaks to what the message is. He's the number 10 wide receiver in the 2025 class.
And there's another one I heard to Rusty Manziel talking about. Andy Randy spent some time talking about it today. I looked at the video. It's a little too long for us to play on the radio. It's about almost 2 minutes. But they also signed the Dogs a four-star defensive player out of Valdosta named Todd Robinson. And boy, if you hadn't seen this video, it is inspirational. This kid, I mean, you talk about the culture. And I know it's a phrase, Carl, that gets thrown around so much. But Kirby's got the culture. And yeah, you can go in the transfer portal. Doesn't make you an awful person. And maybe you change schools or this and that. But it just seems like the kind of guys that George is looking for is Todd Robinson. Because this guy is unbelievable. It's like, this sounds like something out of, like, Remember the Titans. You know what I mean? This sounds like something a Baptist minister might be throwing at church, Carl, to get you inspired. This guy's, at the time of the video, I think he's like 15 or 16. It's unbelievable. So that's another guy who's coming to the Dogs.
All right. And by the way, right now we said this. Ohio State going into what is considered to be, you know, commits. They have the number one class, but the Dogs aren't far behind. None of this matters in the big scheme of things for me until guys are signed. So commits are great. I do think it takes pressure off of kids who say, hey, I'm coming. And then, Mike, they can go play their last year of high school football or whatever and focus on that, hopefully go win state championships or, you know, achieve their goals. But In December, when these guys sign, that's when it matters, and especially now with the transfer portal as active as it is. But I do think that Kirby's theme, or at least his philosophy, is we still recruit high school kids. We're not going to be in the portal like that. We may go get a kid here and there, but we still recruit and develop high school kids, and I think that's why they've gotten to this point in the program. Meanwhile, Mike, what do you think of Trevor Etienne, the younger brother of Travis? You know, he's with the Jags now. He is going to be one of the running backs with the Dogs, but they have a bunch of guys that can tote the rock, and now it's being looked at around the country that the Dogs may have the best running back room, maybe the second best.
Yeah, man. CBS College Football calling, yes, the second best in the country. Now, we mentioned the ETN situation with the police. And, you know, it's just bad optics because you got to, you know, keep your nose clean, especially with the history of driving, you know, mistakes that have been made there after the fatalities. It doesn't look good. But that aside, still waiting for Kirby's playing that out as it gets adjudicated. Kid is ready to beat Florida. He's talked about beating Florida. Yeah. And before the incident, he was getting nothing but high marks from the coaching staff and teammates. Branson Robinson, big boy out there, number two back, but he had that patella tendon injury last year. And then there's Roderick Robinson, top 10 back in the 23 class, and you haven't even seen him do anything yet.
No.
I mean, done a little bit, but you're waiting to see him expand his role.
Yeah, and we said this. I didn't think they had a dominant running back last year. I didn't. I didn't think they had a guy that you just felt like they could go tote the rock, and they certainly didn't have the combination that they had when Chubb and Sony Michel were there, and you still had Sony, you know, not Sony Michel, but DeAndre Swift. All these guys, like, you could just go to either one of them, Mike, and you felt like, all right, the running game is going to be good. I feel like this year is going to be that again, that they're going to have that ability to hand the ball off to any of these guys, and all of a sudden you're going to get 5, 6, 7 yards a pop. If that's happening, all of a sudden Carson Beck's going to have a great year.
Hey, interesting little article I read today. It's in Saturday Down South from Connor O'Gara, and he was talking about like the chaos theory in college football. Was some things, some storylines that maybe go off the rails. Georgia has nothing to do with that because Georgia, as we said, they've got a machine that's rolling. We spent some time with A.J. Terrell yesterday. What happens if Clemson wins like five games this year?
Dabo's on the hot seat.
Does Dabo get fired?
I don't know if he gets fired. It would depend on how those games go. Are we talking about blowouts and they're not competing? Or are we talking about them losing by 3-1 last second field goal?
Is it another? I don't know how old you are. Don't really care.
I mean, another, is it another four-loss season? Because, again, they look, they were in the game with FSU. The coaching guys, that he, the coaching decisions from young coaches he hired were terrible.
Yeah.
You know, to lose to Duke, Duke certainly was a physical team, and the head coach got a job at Texas A&M. So, but still, you lost to Duke in the first week of the season, which didn't set the tone for the season this year. What if Georgia puts a hammer on you at Mercedes-Benz?
I think it's how you lose, Mike. I really do. I mean, like, again, if they lose 33-30 and you're telling me that they were competitive and, hey, it's the first game of the season, I don't look at that as Dabo failing his team. If they get blown out and humiliated and then don't compete in the ACC and are not, you know, championship level, yeah. Then you can absolutely say Dabo's, it could easily be fired at the end of the year, or maybe even through halfway through.
Because as O'Gara, you know, puts it out there, he goes, you know, in 3 years of the NIL existence, Dabo was yet to produce a top 10 finish in the AP poll.
Yeah.
You know, and of course that was on basically on the heels 6 seasons of being, you know, the new, before Kirby, there was Dabo, who was obviously able to beat Nick Saban head to head twice and was in the championship game seemingly every year. So, and again, he sort of prides himself on basically thumbing his nose to the portal and saying that, you know, those guys aren't good enough to play here. So I think there's like anything else in any college football fan base, there's always that what have you done for me lately element. And if those guys are guys who cut big checks, then you are on the hot seat.
But let me tell you this. This would be more concerning for me if I'm Clemson. Because here's the reality. You can lose to Georgia. That's okay. You can't turn right back around in 2 weeks and play Appalachian State and lose to them. Right? So the problem is you lose to Georgia. That's acceptable. You play App State 8 o'clock September 7th. You lose to them. Now you're 0-2. That's an unacceptable loss. Then you get into conference play against NC State. Always right, tough.
What's this guy's name? Tyler.
Stanford,
Tyler.
They'll beat at Florida State, at West Wake Forest, Mike. Now you're talking about the meat of your schedule. And then at that point, by October 5th, are you 500?
I mean, I don't know. That's what I'm saying. I'm curious. It would be very interesting to see if this is a year where all like the combination of not adapting to the new landscape of college football and how's your quarterback? Because
yeah.
You know, ever since you know Sunshine left, Trevor Lawrence, ironically, DJ Uiagalelei will be starting for Florida State. I don't know if he's gotten better after a pretty meh year at Oregon State. But remember the listeners that called in and told us, oh, Trevor Lawrence, where do you see DJ Uiagalelei?
Yeah, they did. They were hyped on it.
The other one, and this was a couple weeks ago, but it's kind of funny.
I just think they're acceptable and unacceptable losses for every team. Georgia could lose to Alabama. We won't like it, but it's acceptable.
Which gets me to the next crazy chaos scenario, and this is from a couple days back, but it's a good point because we've been talking about this all summer, or off season. A team with two losses wins a national title.
Potentially.
I could totally see that.
Yeah, potentially.
And that could be a Georgia, for instance.
It could be. You know, maneuvering their schedule, we mentioned it yesterday. I think just generally speaking, the four teams that may be undefeated, and I don't even know if that'll happen. Maybe there are two teams that have one loss and two undefeated teams. Those teams will be the conference champions. We don't know who they're going to be yet, but they will get byes. Mike, you have a chance to have one of those four teams maybe have two losses.
Right.
So you're telling me if an SEC champion has two losses, they can't go on to win the national championship? Of course they can.
Yeah. And again, it just be a chance for you to either host a game in the playoffs or be on the road, which makes it obviously a little bit more different. But Georgia certainly has the depth. And then, you know, the Carson – the other thing is the defense. And is the defensive line going to be the thing or is Georgia going to be – I don't know. Is it going to be more like last year and just finish? In other words, it's about offense and Carson Beck, and your defense will be just good enough as opposed to being a dominant defense the years of the national championships. That's an issue for me. When you talk about that D-line every time we talk Georgia.
No, it is. I mean, we can't ignore it. I mean, you can, but you're ignoring the obvious with this team. 404-726-0929, Texas. Let us know what you think. We're coming back. We'll talk to the winner of 92.9 The Game's Father's Day contest. I mean, one of them. There are multiples, but he is a guy that we expect to see at the dinner tomorrow night. Guy talks on the way. Also, more on the NBA Finals. Our man Danny Green said he thinks that the Mavs make it a series tonight by winning, and Kyrie's going to have a good game. I think he absolutely has to. We'll get back into that as well. It's Dukes and Bell.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
We're going to talk about Game 3 tonight in Dallas in just a second. We're also going to talk to Randy Stevens, the winner of 92.9 The Game's Father's Day contest. One of them. He's going to be at our cool dinner tomorrow at Buckhead Butcher Shop. Mike Turtle sent this over to us and said there are at least 6 Luis Robert Jr. suitors, according to John Heyman, including the Braves. Dodgers, Phillies, Braves. Here's the deal. He plays for the White Sox, I guess. And they're terrible. But in the AL, it's Rangers, Mariners, and Blue Jays. And listen, the point is, if you're going to trade for a bat or two, potentially, that is what this is assuming. And again, John Heyman, we've had him on the show tons of times, guys. Great baseball insider. But he's saying basically that this particular gentleman is going to get traded to potentially a contender, Mike, and the Braves are interested. Even though right now we're 10 out behind the Phillies, Chris says he had a bad year last year. I didn't look at his stats. Mm-hmm. My point is we need something. Now, how expensive is this? Don't know. I really haven't looked at it. But, you know, as much as we've talked about, hey, improving the pitching potentially on this team, the craziest thing has happened to our Braves, and that is we're not hitting. So if you see some of these trade rumors out there, a lot of people are now connecting us to potential hitters that you could put into this lineup or at least supplement, Mike, what we have to maybe get us going.
Guy's a 264 hitter last year. He's a 276 for his career. He's having just a terrible start. So he'd fit right in with the Braves, batting 182. Tommy Pham was a guy we wanted because maybe next time we play the Phillies, he could just punch Bryce Harper in the face. But, yeah, if you look at his numbers, he's having a really, really off year. Yeah, I'm looking at his average. 38 home runs last year and 80 RBIs.
Yeah.
And this year, he's missed a bunch of games with an injury, but I don't know. But remember, the same things could have been said about Rosario and Soler last season.
You're right. Absolutely. Hey, as we talk about the NBA Finals, we mentioned it earlier, NBA all-time great Jerry West passing away at age 86. I'm sure the league will honor him. There are statements from Pat Riley and Adam Silver, everybody around the league responding to one of the all-time greats passing away today. And so, Mike, as we get into Game 3 today, tonight, Danny Green said, listen, they're not making shots. You said they'll blame Kyrie if they lose this
series. Well, I just think the media will get on Kyrie. And it's funny because I was asking Danny about, you know, does Luka doesn't play defense? Well, they're not asking. He's not going to lock a guy down. He'll give, you know, he'll feed a guy into the lane. But if you're watching basketball, it looks like he's just Olaying people.
It does.
But, you know, Luka, I just feel Kyrie, there's a bunch of guys just waiting for the other shoe to drop. And they want to just, you know, pounce on Kyrie for blowing this series. there's no way he can continue to shoot that poorly. He was really amazing, as we know, against the Thunder. I should say against the T-Wolves. I'm thinking Kyrie comes back tonight, and if Porzingis can't go, despite all of the depth and all the things Boston has, that'll be a big shot in the arm for the Mavs, because game two, Porzingis kind of set the tone in that second quarter with all the things he was doing. But got to figure, it's kind of like going back to Murray and Joker last year with the Nuggets. It basically is, yeah, I know they got P.J. Washington, but Danny Green kind of agreed. You just got to have two monster nights from Luka and Kyrie.
Yeah, I'm with you, buddy. Let's hear Kyrie real quick, and then we're going to talk to Randy Stevens, who'll be at our dinner tomorrow. Kyrie was asked about his first two games in these NBA Finals.
Failure is the best teacher at times, and it can inspire you to do great things. The coaching staff is doing a great job preparing us, but it's our job as players to make those adjustments and play even harder.
Yeah, and the turnovers, you said it, Mike. I think it was game two, just silly turnovers.
But failure is a good not at the NBA Finals. You can't, failure is a good teacher when you're, you know, your first year at Duke or North Carolina or, you know, your first year in the NBA. Failure is not really a good teacher in games one and two of the NBA Finals.
I'm with you. And again, if they lose tonight, forget about it. Right. We're talking about down 0-3. You know the deal there. So it's a tough situation, but hopefully they make it a series tonight. More on Jerry West coming up. Let's talk to Randy Stevens here on 92.9 The Game. And Randy, thank you for entering our contest. My question
glad to do it.
Well, thank you. Why did you enter, though, man? Tell us why you entered.
Well, my dad's gone, but my son, I'm just really proud of him and what all he's accomplished these last 2 years. And so I wanted to bring my son with me.
He's
a great dad, too.
Oh, that's awesome. No, we talk about the connection of fathers and sons and mothers and sons and daughters with sports. Did you have that connection with your dad?
Oh, 100%. I was born a Falcon fan. I was 7 years old when we drafted Tommy Nobis, and Tommy Nobis is still my favorite Falcon to this day.
That's crazy.
Nowadays, if someone is a father and they get their kid a Falcon fan, they might get you for child abuse. But no, we're going to bounce back.
Man, it's been rough.
It has. Randy Stevens, he's one of our guests tomorrow.
It's Randy Snyder.
Oh, I see Stevens here. I apologize. Randy Snyder, thank you. One of our guests tomorrow for our Father's Day contest. So, Randy, here's the deal. Your favorite team, obviously, is the Falcons. Who's your favorite show on the station, man? Because we're going to have all of our personalities there.
I listen all day long from the time I get up in the morning to the time I finally park it in the evening. So I listen to all you guys and just love everything about the station.
Well, we certainly appreciate you, and we're looking forward to having you tomorrow. We're going to have a great dinner. I've already talked to the chef over at Buckhead Butcher Shop. He's got some special stuff planned for us. Mike and I will do the show over there, and then I think around 7, somewhere around there. I no exact time, but everybody will have an opportunity to kind of mingle and mix and have conversations about everything that's going on, and we're looking forward to seeing you over there, Randy. So thank you again.
Absolutely.
Appreciate
this is a great thing you guys are doing. I'm really looking forward to it.
Can't wait, Randy, to meet you and your son. It's going to be a blast. And again, first shots on Carl.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Appreciate you.
Thanks, Randy.
We're going to see him tomorrow. Randy Snyder. Okay. So that is one of our winners. And I think maybe you heard a couple of others throughout the course of the day. If not, certainly tomorrow, I think you'll hear some more that are going to be there. And if you missed out on this opportunity, again, next time it rolls around and you want to be a part of it, and we said this, you don't have to bring your father. It can be anybody in your life that you feel like, hey, has impacted your life. And I think Randy, you know, just talked about that. All right, guys, 404-726-0929. Guy Talks on the way. We're going to talk about how bad the Braves lineup has been, specifically against certain pitching. And this, to me, speaks volumes about where we are. Yesterday, last night I was just upset. I mean, like 4-0. I know the O's are good, but here we are again, not doing anything. No timely hitting. No nothing. And so we've been talking about it today, and we'll open up the phone lines a little bit later and let you chime in. Mike, 5 o'clock, we're going to hear from A.J. Terrell, who sat down with us yesterday up at Flowery Branch.
Yeah, man. And again, it's tough to convey, you know, when you're talking to folks and the looks they give you in addition to what they're saying to you, but I just feel like there's a looseness. I know Carl and I spent some time yesterday talking about, it wasn't like things were tight and guys were walking around like they were on eggshells with Arthur Smith, but it just seems like there was, as the season developed and the storylines became issues like the quarterback position, there was some tension that kind of kicked in because you got to be bulletproof. Everyone else has got to be able to do the job 100%. Where now I feel you've accumulated a lot of talent, and then we're going to wait and see about the draft pieces. But now you've got a coaching staff that knows I got a quarterback. I'm going to go into this game plan knowing that we're going to be able to do X, Y, and Z, or maybe X and Y. They stop us at Z. We're still going to get two other things right in this game.
No doubt, and that's gonna make it easier for everybody. So excitement is certainly up there, Flowery, in the air, and they're going through again mandatory minicamp just the next couple of days here, and then guys will get a break. All right, guys, we're coming back, Mike. What do we have coming up in Guy Talk?
Hey, no surprise here that the Golf Channel is taking a giant dump on John Rahm as he bails out of the U.S. Open up at Pinehurst. Also coming up, we'll talk about this situation yesterday and how the two crazy crimes that happened yesterday basically upturned a lot of Atlanta are interconnected. It's kind of weird. We'll get into that. It's all coming up in Guy Talk on Dukes and Bell.
It's time for fun. It's time for Guy Talk.
Yes! Never mind.
It's time for shenanigans.
Yeah! Yes!
Brought to you by Hooters. If the game is on, it's on at Hooters. Any conference, all season long.
Where the play is play. Hey, man, saw that news this morning on Twitter. We don't call it the X on Dukes and Bell. About Jerry West, and I was like, man. And how much I enjoyed, and we've talked a lot about Winning Time and the characterization by Jason Clarke. I know sometimes it was over the top, the actor who played him, but man, it was, as even Danny Green said, it was entertaining as hell. The tortured soul that was Jerry West. And if you read his book, the biography, his autobiography that came out, is about, I think it was like 2011, he truly was a tortured soul, Carl, despite all the great accomplishments the man had, which are more than most people ever get in their lifetime, let alone pro athlete and then executive in a sport.
His job as an executive to affect so many tremendous superstars, from Magic Johnson to Kareem to Worthy to Shaq and Kobe to Steph and Clay to Durant, Kawhi. I mean, he's touched all of these guys. And Mike, his influence as a player, he's the logo. That's it. Like, to say Jerry West, logo. So I don't know, for me, if there's anybody more accomplished in NBA history, not just on the floor, 12-time NBA All-Star, 12-time first team All-NBA, NBA Finals MVP, and his team lost. That doesn't happen. NBA 75th anniversary team, he's on it. Like, you could just go down the line of all this stuff, Mike, and he was a hell of a defensive player. People have no idea. Jerry West was all first team NBA defensive NBA player. So he did amazing things on the floor. He was an incredible executive. And to your point about how his influence has affected the league, Mike and I were talking about this before we came back. Pat Riley put out a statement, and I said, Mike, that was his dog. Like him and Jerry West, you see these pictures of over the years of them coming up. I mean, they did everything together.
Yeah, and that's why, I know I say it all the time. I want that back in my life. I want somebody at Netflix or somebody to pick up the same cast. I don't want anybody changing their roles or directing. I want more Winning Time. I wonder if it did translate, because with HBO, we always say the casual fan. And to me, if you love, you don't even have to be an NBA fan. It's just great storytelling. And not to mention the way they captured the zeitgeist of like the 70s, 80s. Just great stuff, man. It was just awesome. When I was working in West Virginia and I was doing like my first chance to do sports, Carl, and I was doing like Bluefield Beavers baseball and or basketball with my buddy Jim Nelson, who's a guy who worked in that area for years, I got a chance to go to the gym in West Virginia where, you know, his nickname was Zeke from Cabin Creek. And it's just kind of amazing up in Kanawha County. It's an extra syllable, but up in West Virginia, they pronounce it Kanawha County. But where Jerry was from, I mean, it's
nothing.
It's like a coal miner's daughter. It was like abject poverty to be up in that. I mean, it is what it is. But to where he came from, and I mentioned earlier, we talked about this in the book, his father was incredibly abusive. His wife and his kids didn't want him to write the book for how much he opened up about it, his battles with depression and all that. So
he probably needed it, Mike.
Cathartic, right? Yeah. Catharsis, I should say. But anyway, it's just kind of neat to be able to say I was in that. I don't believe it's even there anymore because they've consolidated that school district. But to be where Jerry West played high school ball was kind of amazing.
Great shooter, hell of a competitor. I think Danny Green said it earlier. And remember, Green played for that Lakers team. I think it was in the bubble, and he said he had interactions with him as well. But, Mike, one of very few guys that just – and this is getting back to your point about Winning Time – hates to lose, hated to lose.
Right.
And I think as an executive, made moves, hates to lose, and whatever it's going to take. So Jerry West is going to be missed. I told Mike this story, and I may have shared it with you guys years ago, but – the same trip that I went out to Las Vegas and ran into, at the time, the richest man in the world, and Jeff Bezos, I saw and ran into Jerry West. And we were out there, and there was, I think, a UFC fight or something, and he was there. And he comes back at MGM and he's walking down the hall and I'm like, that's Jerry West. Mm. Nobody's walking near him. Nobody's coming up to him. Like, people didn't even recognize him. And he was sitting probably, you know, second or third row, whatever. He had great seats. And, you know, I see him and I'm like, Mr. West, how are you? You know, and he's like, oh, I'm doing good. And West said, what'd you think of the fight? And we kind of chatted. And I thought that was it. I go into the bar that I'm in as the crowd is clearing out and he comes into the same bar. And so we kept on talking about stuff and it was just general NBA stuff. But my point is, he wasn't a jerk. He was actually, he was a super nice guy. In my time around the NBA, Mike, in the years early Shaq and Kobe, I had a chance to visit with him a couple of different times. He was always generous and nice. He was never a jerk. I think that portrayal is more about his competitiveness.
Right. And that, I mean, I know it's, that's why some folks that were, you know, friends of Jerry West felt it was almost cartoonish. But again, they were doing everything on a grand scale. They were going crazy after. I mean, I don't think everybody in that series is actually that kind of person in real life. But they kind of took some of the elements of their personalities to the extreme. I got a good friend, Scott Adubato. He's coached college basketball. He's been an assistant, been in a different G League all over. He was a scout for the Lakers and worked with Jerry back in the day and said the same thing. Just an absolute saint of a guy. The funny, just real quick, just funny because, you know, because Jerry, if you don't know, the NBA logo, that's why for a younger audience when they say the logo, because it's based on him. It's him bringing the ball up, and that's correct. What they use as a template. But we're at Georgia Tech back then. It was Alexander Memorial before it became McCamish. And I'm talking to Scotty, like in the rotunda, and he's hold on. I had a text. He goes, oh. He goes, the logo wants some popcorn.
Yeah.
So I thought that was.
Don't always call him Jerry.
That always makes me laugh. The logo wants some popcorn while I'm down here. Anyway, onto a story that we were on live when this was kind of going down, and we didn't want to run with it until we knew exactly what the story was. Were there fatalities? In one case, there was in the bus hijacking. Now, more information coming out from both the AJC, from Fox 5, Channel 2's got it. The guy who hijacks the bus was getting interviewed at the scene of the shooting at Peachtree Center.
Unbelievable.
And in specifics, which kind of denoted this guy might be missing a few screws, describes how he would have tried to apprehend the guy who had the gun at Peachtree Center. Gets into some real graphic things he would have done, like wringing his neck.
Right.
Or if I had a gun. He then steals a gun from the guy that he gets into the fight with on the bus, and then the melee ensues where the bus is chased by the police and eventually does wind up with a SWAT standoff. It's crazy.
So did this trigger him to do this? Like, or was he just there?
That's what it sounds like. I mean, I guess a psychologist would have a field day with this.
Yeah.
He's talking to the AJC. He's rambling. He goes, I didn't have a gun, so I can just say I'm going to kill you real quick. If you're close enough, I can grab your neck and rip your throat. This is the stuff that he was saying. So he's a little unhinged, needless to say. And then I guess somebody will do the analysis on this, what led him then to go from there to being down at Ivan Allen and decide to go hijack a bus.
And it was scary. As we were at Flower yesterday, and Mike, I think you said to me, you know, this bus has been hijacked. And I said, what are you talking about?
Right.
And listen, I'm just so glad that he didn't kill multiple people, right, Mike, with the bus and talking about just running red lights and doing all that craziness. But we were like, man, this is like something out of Speed. And I think you even tweeted something like that. But I didn't know this backstory. This makes it even crazier.
Just bizarro world. Hey, man, on to the U.S. Open, guys, which begins tomorrow at Pinehurst up in Carolina. I think I made it clear to Carl in the audience I'm not a big fan of this golf course. I played it years ago with a good friend of mine, the late Willie Cellucci, who was my golf sensei. And he always said to me, I don't get why people love this course. There's no signature holes, sand everywhere. I don't like it. So I've kind of taken that to heart when I discussed this with the audience. For those who don't know, PGA was very easy at Valhalla. Obviously, scoring was incredibly low. Scottie Scheffler and everybody, you know, you saw that the story, of course, was Scheffler and what happened at the front gate. But the actual golf, you know, people want to see majors very competitive.
Absolutely.
But where do you draw the line from competitive to where it looks like torture on TV, where guys are all over par? You and I were talking, for those who don't know, but unless you don't have pinpoint accuracy, which I get, that's the object of the game, but you're going to see balls rolling off the greens and basically watching guys scramble and grind. To me, the style makes the fight. That's why I'm just not a fan of this course.
Well, it's hard, number one, and it's not just hard for those guys. It's hard for anybody. But if you're one of the best golfers in the world, and we're going to see those guys this weekend,
right?
You hit a perfect shot. This is all they do. And it lands on the green, and then there it goes.
Right.
It just makes no sense. And so, to Mike's point, I heard one of the guys talking last night about it, because I was watching like a preview, and he was saying, you know, if you shoot par, you're in good shape.
Mm.
If you shoot par, don't expect guys being 5, 6, 7 under par. If you shoot par, you should be in good shape. And I'm thinking to myself, it sounds like guys on the weekend. You know, if I can just shoot par, give me a couple of bogeys, that's what they're shooting for because of the course and the difficulty of keeping this ball on the balls on the green. I don't know how it shakes out, Mike, but listen, as far as the aesthetic beauty of it, there are more beautiful courses that the PGA plays at than Pinehurst. But it has this thing about it that guys are attracted to.
So, again, I think if you're a golf purist, i.e. golf snob, you dig it. Most of us are, I mean, I don't know what your handicap is these days. I'm a 16. You know, if you're good enough to tackle Pinehurst, I say mazel tov, but I don't want to watch it on TV.
Yeah.
But we'll see, man. Meanwhile, the Golf Channel, needless to say, killing Jon Rahm for pulling out. If you don't know, the LIV Golf obviously versus the PGA, and these guys work, they know what, you know, they're not going to bite the hand that feeds. Brandel Chamblee, the Irish guy, all these guys killing Jon Rahm for pulling out over basically a boo-boo on his foot. When they call the lesion that's been infected. Sounds gross. You need some Dr. Scholl's insoles, it sounds like. Or talk to my people at the Goodfeet store. Either way, Rahm is out, and these guys are delighting in the fact that he's not going to be competing because they say he can't handle the heat of Pinehurst.
I don't know if that's that or if he's just having a bad year, right? Jon Rahm, as good as he is, and he had an incredible run and won the Masters and then made the decision. Sometimes guys just have bad years. Sometimes teams don't hit, Braves. Right. And you have a bad year. Sometimes there are no answers as to why I can't play up to my capabilities or hit the way I need to, Braves. So, Mike, that's what I'm going to say about Jon Rahm, because I've seen him for 10 years be damn good, and he's not been damn good
ever
this
since,
year.
Look, yes, I get it. He took the money and ran, and people can criticize him, but the media getting on him has messed with his head. And I thought he was more mentally tough than that, and apparently he just isn't, which is a shame. But again, he took his 20 pieces of silver, or is it 30 pieces, whatever the piece of silver he got.
40.
He took it. The other thing is from the PGA, real quick, Rory McIlroy is getting back with his wife, Erica.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
We just had this story a few weeks ago where he sends a private investigator to serve her with divorce papers. And a lot of folks say, well, that's rather impersonal. You can just tell your wife you're going to go. Either way, said he's back with his wife, Erica. And they filed for divorce on May 13th. That was after he won the Wells Fargo. And a lot of folks said, there you go. He's getting rid of the old battle axe and the ball and chain. And now he's going to be ready to win majors. And, of course, he didn't do anything at the PGA Championship. But we'll see. Apparently, he's back. There were rumors that he was kind of, doing some stuff with a certain lady on TV that covers golf.
Can he live? Let that man live. Listen, I said this to Oren, all right? And if you've gone through the ups and downs of any marriage, right, and you've thought about at some point, maybe it's just not working. And I said this to Oren, and I don't know if this happened to Rory, but there's always this thing about, what about the children? And Mike, you know what? You can think about it, and I'm happy that he's going to try to work through it. Doesn't mean it's going to work, but hey, give it a shot and see what happens. And maybe this is what Rory needs to catapult him to his next major. I don't know. Yeah. Let him live.
Get back to his lucky charms. Hey, a guy ain't going to win nothing, man. It's been a minute now. It's been more than a minute. And it's every time we think he's going to make things happen.
Or it could have been, how much is this going to cost me?
Yeah. Cheaper to keep her, baby.
How much did you say? What? Let me make a phone call.
All of my exes live in Jupiter, Florida. All right, man. That's it. That's your guy talk brought to you by Dukes and Bell. Hey, man, Ale, don't forget watermelon lime. It's tasty. Go grab some.
Coming up, our interview with AJ Terrell. What did he say to us yesterday that had Mike and I both going, okay, very interesting. Stay right there. It's on the way. It's part of our Falcon Report here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's time for fun. It's time for guy talk.
Never mind.
It's time for shenanigans. Yes! Brought to you by Hooters. If the game is on, it's on at Hooters. Any conference, all season long.
Where the play is play. Hey, man, saw that news this morning on Twitter. We don't call it the X on Dukes and Bell. About Jerry West, and I was like, man. And how much I enjoyed, and we've talked a lot about Winning Time and the characterization by Jason Clark. I know sometimes it was over the top, the actor who played him, but man, it was, as even Danny Green said, it was entertaining as hell. The tortured soul that was Jerry West. And if you read his book, the biography, his autobiography that came out, it was about, I think it was like 2011, he truly was a tortured soul, Carl, despite all the great accomplishments the man had, which are more than most people ever get in their lifetime, let alone pro athlete and then executive in a sport.
His job as an executive to affect so many tremendous superstars, from Magic Johnson to Kareem to Worthy to Shaq and Kobe to Steph and Clay to Durant, Kawhi. I mean, he's touched all of these guys. And Mike, his influence as a player, he's the logo. That's it. Like, to say Jerry West, logo. So I don't know, for me, if there's anybody more accomplished in NBA history, not just on the floor, 12-time NBA All-Star, 12-time first-team All-NBA, NBA Finals MVP, and his team lost. Mm. That doesn't happen. NBA 75th anniversary team, he's on it. Like, you could just go down the line of all this stuff, Mike, and he was a hell of a defensive player. People have no idea. Jerry West was all first-team NBA defensive NBA player. So he did amazing things on the floor. He was an incredible executive. And to your point about how his influence has affected the league, Mike and I were talking about this before we came back. Pat Riley put out a statement, and I said, Mike, that was his dog. Like him and Jerry West, you see these pictures of over the years of them coming up. I mean, they did everything together.
Yeah, and that's why, I know I say it all the time. I want that back in my life. I want somebody at Netflix or somebody to pick up the same cast. I don't want anybody changing their roles or directing. I want more winning time. I wonder if it did translate, because with HBO, we always say the casual fan. And to me, if you love, you don't even have to be an NBA fan. It's great storytelling. And not to mention the way they captured the zeitgeist of like the 70s, 80s. Just great stuff, man. It was just awesome. When I was working in West Virginia and I was doing like my first chance to do sports, Carl, and I was doing like Bluefield Beavers baseball and or basketball with my buddy Jim Nelson, who's a guy who worked in that area for years, I got a chance to go to the gym in West Virginia where, you know, his nickname was Zeke from Cabin Creek. And it's just kind of amazing up in Kanawha County. It's actually an extra syllable, but up in West Virginia, they pronounce it Kanawha County. But where Jerry was from, I mean, it's
nothing.
Like, it's like a coal miner's daughter. It was like abject poverty to be up in that. I mean, it is what it is. But to where he came from, and I mentioned earlier, we're talking about this in the book, his father was incredibly abusive. His wife and his kids didn't want him to write the book for how much he opened up about it, his battles with depression and all that. So
he probably needed it, Mike.
Cathartic, right? Yeah. Catharsis, I should say. But anyway, it's just kind of neat to be able to say I was in that. I don't believe it's even there anymore because they've consolidated that school district. But to be where Jerry West played high school ball, it's kind of amazing.
Great shooter, hell of a competitor. I think Danny Green said it earlier. And remember, Green played for that Lakers team. I think it was in the bubble, and he said he had interactions with him as well. But, Mike, one of very few guys that just – and this is getting back to your point about winning time – hates to lose. Hated to lose.
Right.
And I think as an executive, made moves, hates to lose, and whatever it's going to take. So Jerry West is going to be missed. I told Mike this story, and I may have shared it with you guys years ago, but – the same trip that I went out to Las Vegas and ran into, at the time, the richest man in the world, and Jeff Bezos, I saw and ran into Jerry West. And we were out there, and there was, I think, a UFC fight or something, and he was there. And he comes back at MGM, and he's walking down the hall, and I'm like, that's Jerry West. Mm. Nobody's walking near him. Nobody's coming up to him. Like, people didn't even recognize him. And he was sitting probably, you know, second or third row, whatever. He had great seats. And, you know, I see him, and I'm like, Mr. West, how are you? You know, and he's like, oh, I'm doing good. And West said, what'd you think of the fight? And we kind of chatted. And I thought that was it. I go into the bar that I'm in as the crowd is clearing out, and he comes into the same bar. And so we kept on talking about stuff, and it was just general NBA stuff. But my point is, he wasn't a jerk. He was actually – he was a super nice guy. In my time around the NBA, Mike, in the years early Shaq and Kobe, I had a chance to visit with him a couple of different times. He was always generous and nice. He was never a jerk. I think that portrayal is more about his competitiveness.
Right. And that, I mean, I know that's why some folks that were, you know, friends of Jerry West felt it was almost cartoonish. But again, they were doing everything on a grand scale. They were going crazy after. I mean, I don't think everybody in that series is actually that kind of person in real life. But they kind of took some of the elements of their personalities to the extreme. I got a good friend, Scott Adubato. He's coached college basketball. He's been an assistant, been in a different G League all over. He was a scout for the Lakers and worked with Jerry back in the day and said the same thing. Just an absolute saint of a guy. The funny, just real quick, just funny because Jerry, if you don't know, the NBA logo, that's why for a younger audience, when they say the logo, because it's based on him. It's him bringing the ball up, and that's correct. What they use as a template. But we're at Georgia Tech back then. It was Alexander Memorial before it became McCamish. And I'm talking to Scotty, like in the Rotunda, and he's hold on. I had a text. He goes, oh. He goes, the logo wants some popcorn.
Yeah.
So I thought that
don't always call him Jerry.
That always makes me laugh. The logo wants some popcorn while I'm down here. Anyway, onto a story that we were on live when this was kind of going down, and we didn't want to run with it until we knew exactly what the story was, were there fatalities. In one case, there was, in the bus hijacking. Now more information coming out from both the AJC, from Fox 5, Channel 2's got it. The guy who hijacks the bus was getting interviewed at the scene of the shooting at Peachtree Center.
Unbelievable.
And in specifics, which kind of denoted this guy might be missing a few screws, describes how he would have tried to apprehend the guy who had the gun at Peachtree Center. It gets into some real graphic things he would have done, like wringing his neck,
right,
or if I had a gun. He then steals a gun from the guy that he gets into a fight with on the bus, and the melee ensues where the bus is chased by the police and eventually does wind up with a SWAT standoff. It's crazy.
So did this trigger him to do this? Like what, or was he just there?
That's what it sounds like. I mean, I guess a psychologist would have a field day with this.
Yeah.
He's talking to the AJC. He's rambling. He goes, I didn't have a gun, so I can just say I'm going to kill you real quick. If you're close enough, I can grab your neck and rip your throat. This is the stuff that he was saying. So he's a little unhinged, needless to say. And then I guess somebody will do the analysis on this, what led him then to go from there to being down at Ivan Allen and decide to go hijack a bus.
And it was scary. As we were at Flower yesterday, and Mike, I think you said to me, you know, this bus has been hijacked. And I said, what are you talking about?
Right.
And listen, I'm just so glad that he didn't kill multiple people, right, Mike, with
right.
the bus and talking about just running red lights and doing all that craziness. But we were like, man, this is like something out of Speed. And I think you right. even tweeted something like
right.
that. But I didn't know this backstory. This makes it even crazier.
Just bizarre world. Hey, man, on to the U.S. Open, guys, which begins tomorrow at Pinehurst up in Carolina. I think I made it clear to Carl in the audience, I'm not a big fan of this golf course. I played it years ago with a good friend of mine, the late Willie Cellucci, who was my golf sensei. And he always said to me, I don't get why people love this course. There's no signature holes, sand everywhere. I don't like it. So I've kind of taken that to heart when I discussed this with the audience. For those who don't know, PGA was very easy at Valhalla. Obviously, scoring was incredibly low. Scottie Scheffler and everybody, you know, you saw that the story, of course, was Scheffler and what happened at the front gate. But the actual golf, you know, people want to see majors very competitive.
Absolutely.
But where do you draw the line from competitive to where it looks like torture on TV, where guys are all over par? You and I were talking, for those who don't know, but unless you don't have pinpoint accuracy, which I get, that's the object of the game, but you're going to see balls rolling off the greens and basically watching guys scramble and grind. To me, the style makes the fight. That's why I'm just not a fan of this course.
Well, it's hard, number one, and it's not just hard for those guys. It's hard for anybody. But if you're one of the best golfers in the world, and we're going to see those guys this weekend,
right?
You hit a perfect shot. This is all they do. And it lands on the green, and then there it goes.
Right.
It just makes no sense. And so, to Mike's point, I heard one of the guys talking last night about it because I was watching like a preview, and he was saying, you know, if you shoot par, you're in good shape.
Mm.
If you shoot par, don't expect guys being 5, 6, 7 under par. If you shoot par, you should be in good shape. And I'm thinking to myself, it sounds like guys on the weekend. You know, if I can just right. shoot par, give me a couple of bogeys, that's what they're shooting for because the course and the difficulty of keeping this ball on the green. I don't know how it shakes out, Mike, but listen, as far as the aesthetic beauty of it, there are more beautiful courses that the PGA plays at than Pinehurst. But it has this thing about it that guys right. are attracted to.
So, again, I think if you're a golf purist, i.e. golf snob, you dig it. Most of us are, I mean, I don't know what your handicap is these days. I'm a 16. You know, if you're good enough to tackle Pinehurst, I say mazel tov, but I don't want to watch it on TV.
Yeah.
But we'll see, man. Meanwhile, the Golf Channel, needless to say, killing Jon Rahm for pulling out. If you don't know, the Live Golf, obviously, versus the PGA, and these guys work, they know which, you know, they're not going to bite the hand that feeds. Brandel Chambly, the Irish guy, all these guys killing Jon Rahm for pulling out over basically a boo-boo on his foot. When they call the lesion that's been infected. Sounds gross. You need some Dr. Scholl's insoles, it sounds like. Or talk to my people at the Goodfeet store. Either way, Rahm is out, and these guys are delighting in the fact that he's not going to be competing because they say he can't handle the heat of Pinehurst.
I don't know if that's that or if he's just having a bad year, right? Jon Rahm, as good as he is, and he had an incredible run and won the Masters and then made the decision. Sometimes guys just have bad years. Sometimes teams don't hit, Braves.
Right.
And you have a bad year. Sometimes there are no answers as to why I can't play up to my capabilities or hit the way I need to, Braves. So, Mike, that's what I'm going to say about Jon Rahm
right.
because I've seen him for 10 years be damn good, and he's not been damn good
ever
this
since.
Year.
Look, yes, I get it. He took the money and ran, and people can criticize him, but the media getting on him has messed with his head. And I thought he was more mentally tough than that, and apparently he just isn't, which is a shame. But again, he took his 20 pieces of silver, or is it 30 pieces, whatever the piece of silver he got.
40.
He took it. The other thing is from the PGA, real quick, Rory McIlroy is getting back with his wife, Erica.
Whoa.
We just had the story a few weeks ago where he sends a private investigator to serve her with divorce papers. And a lot of folks say, well, that's rather impersonal. You can't just tell your wife you're going to go. Either way, said he's back with his wife, Erica. And they filed for divorce on May 13th. That was after he won the Wells Fargo. And a lot of folks said, there you go. He's getting rid of the old battle axe and the ball and chain. And now he's going to be ready to win majors. And, of course, he didn't do anything at the PGA Championship. But we'll see. Apparently, he's back. There were rumors that he was kind of, doing some stuff with a certain lady on TV that covers golf.
Can he live? Let that man live. Listen, I said this to Oren, all right? And if you've gone through the ups and downs of any marriage, right, and you've thought about at some point, maybe it's just not working. And I said this to Oren, and I don't know if this happened to Rory, but there's always this thing about, what about the children? And Mike, you know what? You can think about it, and I'm happy that he's going to try to work through it. Doesn't mean it's going to work, but hey, give it a shot and see what happens. And maybe this is what Rory needs to catapult him to his next major. I don't know. Yeah. Let him live.
Get back to his lucky charms.
Hey, a guy ain't going to win nothing, man. It's been a minute now. It's been more than a minute. And it's every time we think he's going to make things happen.
Or it could have been, how much is this going to cost me?
Yeah. Cheaper to keep her, baby.
How much did you say? What? Let me make a phone call.
All of my exes live in Jupiter, Florida. All right, man. That's it. That's your Guy Talk brought to you by Dukes and Bell. Hey, man, Ale, don't forget watermelon lime. It's tasty. Go grab some.
Coming up, our interview with AJ Terrell. What did he say to us yesterday that had Mike and I both going, okay, very interesting. Stay right there. It's on the way. It's part of our Falcon Report here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.